time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite.
Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite.
We hear your endless complaints about how no one remembers the true meaning of Christmas and that it's gotten too commercial. But you get Yuletide amnesia once you hit the mall.
Every four-year-old needs an iPod.
You took a swing at the lady who got the last Elmo.
A traditional Christmas in jail, yeah.
So when some modern-day George Bailey stops pontificating long enough to beat you to the last Xbox, don't get mad. Ring a bell and give angel wings to Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite, a real American hero.
Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite.
Hark the herald angels sing, you must buy a new flat screen.
For the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's a new month, December 1st. It seems like every other day we say it's a new month. Time just flies.
Time is faster. I mean, it's because the train's left the station, people.
It has left the station, man.
This is the last month of 2010.
Do you believe that? Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
We're closing a decade, I guess.
Last month of 2010. Get it done. What do we have to get done, guys?
Do you remember? It seemed like yesterday it was the year 2000. And now we're 10 years later.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This train has left the station, people.
It has left the station.
That's how you know you got
in 2000, you were what, 19 or something, right?
2000, I was 18.
Yeah.
18, 19.
Wow.
Yeah. That's when I graduated, was the year 2000, yeah. High school.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. With all the worries about the Y2K virus or bug or whatever, and and okay, people predicting the end of the world, and now 10 years later... The end of the world is nearer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Last month of 2010.
Yeah. And it does bring some good news, you know, because people were concerned about the shopping season these holidays. You know, I guess people were hoping that it would reflect better on the economy and everything that people would be spending. Well, the news is that Cyber Monday was the biggest in history. People spent about $1 billion Monday online buying shit. So they're saying this is like a 16% increase over last year. Now, this is good news. I mean, if this means the economy is going to start picking up because people are more positive about the outlook, then this is good news. Because that's what economics is all about. It's about people's psychology, you know. Look at the stock market, for example. When some news comes out, if people are scared, the market drops. You know, if people are feeling good, it goes up. The same with the economy. That's how you have highs and lows, and you know, as far as the economy goes, mm-hmm. every few years it goes down and stuff. Because, you know, people lose faith and they lose hope and stuff. But I think this is good news. I'm really excited about this because it seems like every year, the past few years, they've been saying, oh, sales have been flat, sales are lower than expected and all that stuff, you know. So
no, you're right. They say basically it's basically that's like the concept of people have – some people, like, they have the money, but they just don't want to let go of it.
Right. They're afraid of what's going to happen. They want to hold on to the money. Yeah. And but apparently people are more willing to open up their pocketbooks. And
what about you? How's your pocketbook feeling?
My pocketbook is feeling okay, but, you know, then again, I don't have
you don't
to
seem
a
like a
presents.
Spender. Yeah, you don't seem like a spender.
No, I'm not. Well, it depends. When
I, mean,
when I do
your...
buy, I buy very expensive things.
Yeah, you could tell. Like, you've got a nice car.
Yeah.
But you kind of play the I'm broke card, but I know you're not. Like, you kind of got that, like, kind of like a little bit frugal kind of thing going on.
Nah,
it's like a
front. I don't
know.
I don't spend that much, really.
No, I know you don't. Yeah. I can tell. I can tell. Like, you're kind of like a, you know.
Because I don't have much to spend. You have to understand that, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would like to have, but I don't, you know. I mean, I'd like to have a MacBook and
you want a MacBook?
And an iPad and stuff. Yeah. Because, although I can't really use a MacBook, but they're nice, you know. They're cool.
Here you are trashing Macs and talking about PCs. Macs are the best.
They're not the best. I just like the I like the way they look. You know, but as far as being able to do things with them, the PC is better. But that's the thing about the Macs. Now you can run Windows on them, too. So you can have two computers in one, which is kind of cool. But I don't know. So, and the iPad would be nice, although I haven't figured out what I would use it for yet. But
the iPad,
it is
it's
cool.
Just a bit. I think it's the mobility of it all, and it's kind of like
right. In
between a laptop and an iPhone. It seems
right.
Like.
So if you travel a lot, it's worth it.
Yeah,
know,
I mean, it seems like people that travel a lot. I know one guy. It looked like he had a notebook, and he opened it up, and he said, "Oh, it's a cover for his iPad
right.
to make it look like it's not a computer, so people won't steal it."
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, they make cool stuff like that.
But they're cool. I think it's overpriced, and besides, you know, if with me, I sit in front of the laptop all day anyway. So I wouldn't be using an iPad. But they are pretty cool, you got to admit, you know? Maybe
no,
I'll find a use for them one day. But they're like $600-700, I think. They're pretty expensive.
What about Craigslist? They got any on Craigslist yet? You can find anything on Craigslist.
That's true, yeah.
I'm not saying you won't get an STD from it, but I'm just saying you can find something on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Craigslist is one of these places that have figured out how to make money without advertising, and they make a lot of friggin' money, you know.
Do they how?
By charging for the want ads, you know, the employment ads.
Oh.
They charge for those, so like $25 bucks or something.
That's actually good.
And apparently they're making hundreds of millions of dollars, believe it or not. You know, they single-handedly destroyed the classified ad business that newspapers have.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. You know, who advertises in the paper anymore? You know.
Well, I don't know if that's all because of.
It's Craigslist, trust me.
Craig's, where are you, Craig's? Where are you, Craig's? In your list? Get your list. So here's the deal, guys. So it was a financial decision that got me to stop purchasing my fake tan lotions and my spray tan bottles. Okay. It kind of adds up. It's not that expensive, but it's like, you know, around 10, 15 bucks.
Really?
And you buy it here and there and it adds up. And then I just kind of got busted broke. So I was like, well, I'm just going to have to I'm gonna have to wear pantyhose or something. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then I just stopped using it. So
right.
I want you guys to know, I have been wearing like different levels of fake tan stuff and really natural stuff. Like, you know, lotion that has a little bit of tanner. And then the more you use it throughout, it builds color. And then I do sometimes a spray tan, all this different cool stuff. And it, you know, usually I always get compliments that, you know, my legs look really good and all that stuff. Anyway, so this has been years of using these products, okay?
Right.
Well, now it's been like, I don't know, a few months I haven't really been keeping up with it. I've been letting it go and I've been shaving. Obviously, I shave my legs.
Right.
Exfoliating. I'm down to like, I don't think there's any more fake tan on my leg, because it's like I've built years of this shit up on my leg. I've worked really hard for it.
Really?
And it's
so you think it was there permanently for a while?
Not permanently, but there's so many layers, and I would maybe get down to like one layer, but then I'd apply more, and then maybe lose a couple layers. It's just like I never really got down to my real white.
Right.
I just think I just hit white bottom, people. And my legs are a kind of white that I haven't seen in years.
Really?
I always thought I had a little peach in my skin, like a little peach. They are white.
Really?
And you know what? I kind of don't think it looks bad.
Right.
It's kind of ivory. It's like, I'm like.
No, it is nice. And a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I was showing my friend and I said, you know, what do you think? She's like, it's really pretty white. And I'm like, are you just BSing me because you're trying to help me not keep buying this crap? She's like, no, it's a pretty white. I'm like, but it's not in.
Yeah.
Like, white's not in. It's been out for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like porcelainy white, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like. And because I'm so white now, if I bruise, I could see a bruise.
Oh, I see.
And I looked in the back of my legs and I don't know what this, I know when I go out and I do my shows or if I have a drink or something, I know I party kind of hard, not hard, but I mean, you know, I'm crazy. Yeah. I don't mean like in an alcoholic way. I mean that in like a playing around, dancing, and that, you know, great right. fun way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll bump into things, or, you know, maybe I'm at work.
And you get bruised. And,
yeah. And now that I'm not wearing the fake tan, I'm seeing some bruises.
Really?
But I saw a bunch. I saw like two big ones on the back of my legs. And I was like, where the hell did this come from? I'm like, mm-hmm. When did somebody hit me? I didn't even, I mean, I know if somebody hits me, I'd pin him back. And then I was thinking, oh, I think it might be the other day when I took the black Sharpie and I drew those checkers on my legs to fill in for the places where my fishnets broke.
Right.
I think I scrubbed it and it turned into like this conglomerate kind of like Sharpie-esque
so
bruise.
It's not really a bruise.
I don't know yet. Like it's just like I didn't know I was this white. I'll find out if it's a bruise in about 3 days. Like,
so that was a revelation for you this morning? Is that what it is?
Last night I was like, last oh my night. Gosh, it is a different level of white, people.
But you know what? I'd rather see that than see, like lately on TV, I'm seeing so many people with that fake tan. They look absolutely ridiculous. In fact, Donald Trump was on TV.
No,
the
he's
other day.
Too much.
Did you see him do this? And then you can see all the parts that he doesn't put it on, like his lips, around his lips, around his ears. He's totally pink. So it's like orange and pink, you know?
Yeah.
And you go, what the hell is wrong with you? And around his eyes also, there isn't any mm-hmm. tan, you know? So you can see this. And he looks like a fucking raccoon or something, you know?
I mean,
with his eyes. And so I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, you know, I don't think I like those fake tans, you know?
Well, I don't want to ever look fake.
Now, let me ask you this.
Fake.
Why don't you go in the sun? I mean, it's beautiful days out.
No, I don't want wrinkles. And I don't want, like, skin cancer.
And how much wrinkles do you get from lying in the, you know?
Dude, it adds up. You have got to protect, especially if you're a white chick.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a white chick, the skin is thinner. Mm-hmm. You have to watch how you age because, you know, my friend's a doctor. He's like, Carrie, you need to watch out because people like you end up looking really ugly. That's basically how he told me. But no, women of color, black women, Hispanic women, you know, women that have like more olive and darker skin tones, the skin is actually has more elasticin in it, and there's more melanin, and so the skin is thicker and it doesn't like kind of accepts the sun differently. Whereas really fair skin mm-hmm. and freckled girls,
yeah,
redheads,
you just get burnt, huh?
It's like I could get tan. I've used to lifeguard and I got really tanned, but it's just it really damages your skin.
Mm.
You know, and I've got like obviously really big breasts,
mm-hmm.
and so if I have like a bunch of tan on my chest, it's gonna crisp up one day, and I'm gonna have like wrinkle cleavage.
Yeah.
Like wrinkle tits.
I know, I don't like those.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You're like you get the girls hiked up, but there's like uh-huh. the wrinkles between them.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, I have a surprise for you. When you get older, it's gonna happen whether you're in the sun or not.
Well,
it's
I
just
could postpone
the body
it.
Body wrinkles.
I could postpone it though.
I hope so.
Postpone it. I don't want to be like 40 rocking wrinkle tits. I can wait till I'm 80.
Yeah.
You know, they'll eventually
it's not
look,
up to you though.
Look, eventually they're going to go low and south and, you know, I'm not, yeah. I'm going to be a little crispy, but
gravity
you know.
Does its job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I'm in my 20s, so.
Yeah, there you go.
don't start freaking me out for nothing. I'm just saying I'm being preventative. It
yeah.
does help.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it does help you, then, you know, who am I to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's going on, people. I'm really white. Gosh.
Hey, Whitey.
I have a friend. He does a joke. He says, I'm half white and I'm half Caucasian. It's very funny.
Yeah?
Very funny joke. Had my show last night. Went very good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. So you had a comedy show last night?
Yeah, it went really fun. Really great uh-huh. place. You guys should check it out. If you're in L.A. and you want a place to go eat good food and then go lounge, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's called the Pally House, and mm-hmm. it just has a beautiful courtyard with a you know restaurant with twinkle lights, and then it has a lounge area with a fireplace and mm-hmm. kind of old time jazz music and a really cool bar, and it's just a cool setup, and there's a hotel at the you know on top of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they have comedy shows there as well.
They do have comedy shows mm-hmm. occasionally, yes.
And how'd you find out about it?
My friend books the show.
Oh.
Yeah, he put me in it. So, anyway.
Yeah.
I have a few days off this week.
Oh, how cool.
Yes.
Getting ready for the holidays.
I'm trying not to spend money, man. It's hard. This especially, I didn't realize this because I've always been, you know, been really busted. But now that I have a little bit of cash and I have a lot of things to make up for, I just want to spend money.
Yeah.
And it's that season when you want to spend money and it's okay. It's uh-huh. supposedly okay.
Right.
So I'm literally.
So treat yourself a little bit.
No, I already have.
Hell?
Like the skirt I'm wearing, the shoes I'm wearing. Like I've already done it. Like,
oh, I
believe
see.
Me, it's already.
You didn't need permission to do it.
I've already hit it up. Like I don't even want to go into the money I've spent that I shouldn't have spent. Anyway, it's so I need to not spend money. And and I have a lot of things I need to pay. And I thought about this morning. I was like, what am I thinking? Like, you just kind of get the bug.
Yeah.
You just think, oh, you know,
Yeah. And but so I'm literally. Who wants to only spend the money on bills, you know, for crying out loud?
No, but I got to pay something.
Right. No, that's true. But, you know.
Like I won't even go into it. Like I got some parking tickets that are past due. That whole situation again. Yeah. You know.
Avoidable stuff, of course.
No.
No.
What does Kanye West said? He goes, I got a problem with spending before I get it. I got a couple past due bills. I won't get too specific. Specific, yeah. Anyway. So,
Do you listen to that kind of music sometimes?
Kanye West? Yeah, he's funny.
Really?
He's really good. He's a great artist.
You listen to music in the car?
Yes.
Really? Because you said you listen to Christian stations.
I listen to everything except for country, yeah.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Really? You don't like country music?
It's not that I don't like it. I've actually grown to where I can tolerate it and I can see how parts of it are good. I used to hate it. Because living in Texas, you were force-fed it and you had to listen to
That's
it.
That's true, yeah.
It was like the mainstream of everything was country growing up for me. And right. I remember I hated it.
Really?
I hated it. And it was, you know, it's not like you could just go, oh, this is interesting. Let me choose this. It was like, no, country. I mean, you know, there's the same songs that I heard growing up are the same songs they still play.
Yeah.
I saw the light in your window tonight. You like that song?
No, I don't know what song that is.
Whose bed have your boots been under?
I'm not good with country music, you know?
Well, that's how it sounds.
Yeah. I know. It's all like love stories, depressing stories, right?
It's, I know, I mean, now I'm like, oh, some of the music's really good, and, you know, I mean, I can see the appeal now, because I moved away. There's a lot of things about Texas that I didn't appreciate till I moved away, and I was like, wow, Texas is really cool, but I didn't realize it, you know, because you had to kind of move away.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful skylines, because it's so open, like, it's a lot of Texas, the East Texas, too, it's very flat.
Flatland,
so
right.
So the plus to that is that you get these huge skylines where you see so much of the sky, and you don't have a mountain range or anything, so it's very wide open, and you feel that does something for you, you know, feeling like you can see, and it feels, you know, you just feel very open. It's really nice. And
I remember when I was in Austin, it was all flat, and it occurred to me how strange it is, because I always lived.
Austin's not very flat, though. You probably.
Well, it was.
Compared to here, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very hilly, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's really hilly.
I didn't see any hills, man. I remember driving to the airport and. Or being driven to the airport and from the airport by taxi.
Yeah.
And I remember that I could see for miles without any mountains or anything.
Yeah, so. That's probably the freeway. But no, if you were to, it's not mountains though. It's like hilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like here.
Maybe,
but I love the mountains. I love mountain ridge.
I know.
But no, I mean, there's that. People live pretty good in Texas. I mean, the economy's great, and you get a lot for your money there. And there's a lot of ways to live that you take for granted. You know. Apartments are nice and clean and new. Everything's new.
Right.
And you move out here and you're like, oh, this is a great deal. And it's like crunched up and it's never been redone anything. And it's, you know what I mean? Like there's a huge, obviously, financial difference in what you get. And you start to kind of adapt, obviously, to LA, and you love the location versus the actual place you live in. And, you know, I mean, you're living in an apartment too. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like versus, you know, Texas has just such a great economy and all those things.
It's now, right now, it has a good economy.
Yeah, people are moving to Texas. They're doing great.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they're really, really doing great. Mm. They're a very self-sufficient state, you know.
Yeah.
They have a lot of their own, you know, everything. So they, you know.
So is California, and we're in big debt, you know, so you never
I mean, Texas governs completely different to, you know, California.
Yeah,
there's no
different.
State income
it's
tax. There's no state income tax in Texas. It just runs very, very different. It's very Republican, and I think Republicans are pretty good with the fiscal side of things.
So.
Comparatively,
but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the economy's
it's a better state, but it has it's definitely stronger. I mean, if you were to Google it right now, you would see, you know, that a lot of people are moving, a lot of businesses are moving to Texas too.
Yeah. But, you know what's interesting is I realized that Texas is like obsessed with putting people to death, you know, the death penalty there is pretty strong. And the reason I know that is because I just finished reading the book by John Grisham called The Confession. And that was about, I don't know, about a town in Texas called Sloan. Have you heard of it? I thought he just made it up. So this had to do with the death penalty and everything. And, you know, the way he portrayed it is Texas is really like, You know, like, they don't waste their time. They kill people right and left, you know, and as opposed to some other states. So I don't know if it's all true or not, but I would imagine he based his book on truth. So I get to learn a little bit of that. That perspective of Texas, well, you know, which was pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, that's a novel that you read, right?
Right.
Okay, so obsessed with putting people to death, I wouldn't say, but they do enforce capital punishment.
Right.
And
but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like they're.
I can't say that they like. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes to states, and so I know that Texas has that. That's that kind of
reputation.
Yeah, the reputation of don't get caught in Texas, you know. Hey, you know, I don't know. I'm really torn on like capital punishment, things like that. I mean,
yeah.
I just say, here's what I'd say. Don't kill anybody in Texas. Don't get caught.
Yeah,
in Texas.
Don't get caught. I know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's some, I think it's, I'm sure there's a part of it's exaggerated. You know what I mean? There's an exaggerated element to it. I mean, I don't feel unsafe when I'm there, like driving or something.
Yeah. You see, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with the death penalty. Well, I do a couple of things, you know. I mean, first of all, we're killing people, you know, and, you know, and we're not supposed to kill people. That's the one thing. On the other hand, though, you know, if somebody does commit some heinous crimes then you want to make him pay for it, you know. But the thing is, I think you should not kill someone or put him to death if there's only circumstantial evidence. You know, there's got to be like beyond a reasonable doubt, period.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be. That's
you
how
know?
It is.
But that's the thing, is that in this story, he gave you an example that it was not like that, and still they put a man to death.
Well, it's a novel.
It is a novel, but it could happen.
I mean, I think that there's definitely flaws. I mean, every state has its flaws, and every system is so flawed. So, I'm sure that there's been a lot of unjust cases. I mean, that's gone on everywhere.
You can't undo it once you put someone to death.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, for me,
you know, I can see it as a deterrent, but I don't think it really serves as a deterrent. I think studies have shown it doesn't really deter people.
I don't think that's true. I mean, you look at certain countries where, you know, you steal and your hand's broken.
Well, no, I'm talking about the United States.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the crime rate is in Texas. I don't think it's high, let's put it that way, comparatively. I mean, Houston got a little rough, especially after Katrina. A lot of the evacuees went to Houston. Crime rate went way up. People were killing each other for their cards, you know, these like debit-type cards that they got issued from the government.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. But and it had crime before that, but... yeah, I don't know statistically what the crime rate is, but you know, as far as the death penalty, it's on a personal level, I'm completely against it. Obviously, I look at human life as it's human life, and you know, at the end of the day, it's not my job to take somebody else's life, even if they deserve it. It's in God's hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also look at it like I'm more concerned with rehabilitation, like what percentage of the criminals can be rehabilitated and put back into society, and making our, you know, prison systems more focused on rehabilitating people as opposed to just letting them sit there. I just think that, you know, if you're going to let somebody just sit there, they're not going to get better. You know, like, it's like, I think that somebody sitting in a jail cell and jail life is so hard. Not that it shouldn't be hard. I'm just saying I don't think it softens somebody and helps them grow. I think, if anything, it hardens them more.
Right, yeah, but so, I don't think it's about softening them up, though. I mean, it's about removing
them
from society.
Yeah, I mean,
if they can't get along with people, you remove them from society.
Yeah, and I'm not. I'm just saying, like, what percentage of people that go into the prison system can be rehabilitated, but they fall through the cracks, or we don't have the right systems or programs in place for them to where they can. I mean, like a lot of drug use and people go to prison. I mean, it's like, I understand they need to be not in a place where they can hurt other people or whatever, but like that's a rehabilitatable issue. You know what I mean? If there was a way.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's very debatable, because I mean, for using drugs, I don't see any reason to put anybody in jail. You know, we don't, you know, I was reading yesterday that we've got more prisoners, more people in jail than any country in the world, believe it or not. So we've got plenty of people behind bars, and I guess you could expect this from a capitalistic society and stuff, you know, where there's not a lot of fear of the authorities and the government and the police and that. But regardless, I think we're arresting a lot of people for reasons that are that do not require imprisonment.
Like you think, like drug use people, like
yeah,
heroin
like I mean,
addicts.
You have people, yeah, you have people sitting around in jail for marijuana or something. I mean,
well,
the
marijuana
the
thing, they've already decriminalized it, right?
Well, that's here, but
yeah,
you know,
that's stupid. But I'm saying like, you know, drug trafficking, people that are, you know, strung out on drugs that are going to go in and vandalize vandalize homes to get, you know, stuff.
Right, yeah.
People on drugs that are going to go that are, like, violent, I mean, which there are, that happens a lot. It's like, you have to take them out of society as well because they're, you know, going to harm people.
Right, right.
And so that, but yet it's a rehabilitatable issue, you know? I mean, right. I don't know. That's that. But I also think, like, you know, pedophilia. I mean, that's not.
Yeah, I mean, do you want your money spent on people that have committed crimes in the hope that maybe you can rehabilitate them? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's going to be spent either way. You're spending it on either housing them for years and they never get better and you just have to keep them alive, because or you spend money on, you know, putting them on the death penalty. Do you know that like executing someone is actually more expensive than actually having them in there for life?
Not for life.
Mm-hmm.
Not for life. No.
Yep.
No.
Google
I'm willing
it.
To bet you on that.
Oh, how much you bet a buck? $1.
You know how much it costs to keep a person in prison for a year? I think it's like maybe $30,000. Is it possible? I don't know. But yeah, you know. So I don't know. But, you know, I mean, again, if you rehabilitate someone, then by definition, you're going to release them back into society. And I don't know that. I'd want that, you know, if someone committed a crime.
Yeah. But I also think of like, you know, I mean, you know, you have the best hope in people and then you actually have to protect people at the same time. It's a real divided issue. And I think, you know, yeah, it's a touchy. It's I've had this conversation with so many different types of people. And
really?
Yeah. Like one guy I was dating, you know, he's been in the military for 10 years. I mean, he is a very like attitude about it. Like, like, he's just, you know, he's like, protect the people that want to live, that want to survive and want to thrive, and let the rest of them just...
rot in jail.
Yeah. But he's also seen, like, the worst of the worst of the worst.
Really?
You talk to people that have seen the worst, they're you know, like, you and I haven't seen the worst. You talk to people that have seen the worst, they have a very different, strong opinion on it. Like, he served in Guantanamo Bay, he saw the prisoners there, he saw... the craziest stuff happened. He saw how things were reported to the media that were inaccurate, very like distorted. Right. He saw the worst of the worst, and he said no, you know, no. And it's funny because I met these two doctors the other night at this really cool place downtown, and they both one's an ER doctor and the other one is a pediatrician. And the pediatrician was like, he said, I might have them on the show. They're both really funny. He said, don't have kids. He goes, you want the hard, cold truth? He's like, don't have kids. He says, the most selfish thing in the world to do. I said, are you kidding me? He's like, no, it's selfish. Do not have kids. We're overpopulated. It was like this dark answer.
Really?
And I said, what? What are you talking about? He says, I take care of sick kids all day and like deathly sick kids, fatal kids that are going to die. And he's like, it's selfish. Don't bring kids in this world. Blah, dark.
Wow.
And I said,
that's pretty cynical.
And I said, you know, it's one of the most, it said it may be a selfish motive to have children, but you know, it becomes the most selfless thing someone can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do anything, you know? And then I also, you know, I was like talking to both of them. I'm like, dude, you guys are kind of a little too much in the trenches, and that's valid. It's totally valid, and I
it's
respect it.
It's just burned
it.
Out.
But I'm like, get out there and see some rainbows and puppy dogs, because you guys need to counteract.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to get hope and joy again, you know?
You need a little variety in your life for crying out loud.
A little variety.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, people that have been on, like, I think, like, they've seen the dark side of things, they have a much more strong opinion versus when you haven't really been there, so... I kind of take that into consideration of my situation, like, you know, what have I seen, what have I experienced, because I, you know, I would like there not to be a death penalty. I'd like to see everybody rehabilitated, you know, it's
right,
like, am
yeah.
I, that's kind of naive.
That's your ideal, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, we have this urge to, for revenge, you know, and if someone kills and someone rapes and someone maims, you want to get rid of them.
It says right here, this says it costs far more to execute a person than to keep him or her in prison for life. California taxpayers pay They pay $90,000 more per death row prisoner each year. What?
90,000?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Put
that's for death row prisoners.
More death per death row prisoner each year than any other state. Okay. Anyway, it's interesting. I think these are definitely, you know, a bunch of different answers that are kind of debatable. So I guess you could find answers to, you know, support either one. So I don't know. My point is I don't really know if it's financially necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you look at it financially when it comes to justice.
Yeah, just smoke them all.
Exactly. Fry the fucker.
There's no more states that have the
electric chair. No.
Yeah, that's been done with, right?
Yeah. Now it's lethal injection.
And that is a painless thing, right?
Supposedly, yeah. But
yeah, there's a lot of people trying to say it's not, though, right?
You just kind of, yeah, I mean, in the book, they were describing the whole process, you know. And now you just kind of go to sleep, you know, and you don't really feel anything.
Yeah.
But what I think is really morbid is for people to sit there and actually watch the execution, you know. I mean, would you be able to do that?
No.
See someone being killed in front of you, you know? It's
I think it's regardless that. If somebody deserves it or not. I mean, there's something about the fact that it's that this is life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we start to look at life as not fragile and not special on it just because it's life,
mm-hmm.
it's like there's something in us that's dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm against torturing and stuff like that. I think it's not just because it's about the person that's being inflicted upon. I think it's the person doing it destroys something in them,
mm-hmm.
erodes something in them. And I think that, you know, I can't tell the parents of somebody whose kid was, you know, raped and killed brutally to not get to go see that. I mean, I can't tell them, you know what, that's a little sick and twisted.
Right, yeah.
You know, they say it brings about closure or whatever.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I don't think I could sit there and watch it. I just would be, like, wanting to help the person.
Yeah.
Like, I'll bust you out.
You're too nice.
Well, I mean, it's just that basic human level. Like, they're going to die. Don't let them die. You know, that survival instinct. You want to help them.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But if you really hated him, I don't think you'd have a problem with it.
Well, like I'm saying, I'm not sitting on that side of things.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I've lost somebody tragically. I mean, my sister died, you know,
mm-hmm.
but and it was a tragic thing, but it wasn't at the hands of anyone else. It wasn't like this, you know,
mm-hmm.
thing like that. So I don't really know what that would feel like.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
To be. But I think that anger is like cancer. You know, you got to go through. Everybody's gonna go through anger. It's a healthy part of, you know, loss and certain things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's.
But anger basically is when things don't go your way, you know, and that's when people get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you realize that there are certain things you can't change and you can't affect at all, then you accept them and you don't get angry. You know, I mean, I used to be a very angry person until I realized this. You know, I realized it's like I came up with this theory that your life is like a movie where you're not really the director, you know. There's someone else directing the story, and
you're the star.
Yeah, you know, you're an actor, and you have your own script, but you can't change someone else's script, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, if someone is just an asshole, and then they do something to you, you don't get mad because they would do it to anybody. That's just the way they are. That's
mm-hmm.
their script. What you can do is adjust your own script. That's the only one you can adjust.
I like
know?
It. There you go. Psychology from Sam in Hollywood.
There you
I
go. You know, and that should help you not get really pissed because you realize.
Well, I agree. When you're talking about stuff that's like somebody cutting you off in traffic or somebody doing you a little dirty here and there. But what are we talking about, like, the really, really tough issues, like rage, for example, that comes from the loss of a child?
Right.
You know, like the person we talked about who, you know, very, very tragically, and it was very preventable, lost a son, you know?
Right.
That was a host here. It's like, I'm sure there's going to be a part of that grieving process where he feels rage, I'm sure, just at the loss. Because,
right.
you know, and I'm sure people, too, have come to places in their own life that maybe it's just a spiritual battle or it's something you can't even put your hand on, but you're not able to break through and onto the other side of something. And so you get so angry and enraged, and then maybe.
Yeah, but again, it's because things are not going your way, you know?
Yeah, but I'm just saying I don't think it's totally unhealthy.
No, some of it is healthy, and there's nothing you can do about it. Doesn't matter how much you try to rationalize it, you're still going to be pissed.
But some of it is. Some
angry,
of it is you can just kind of let go of.
But
like
yeah, I mean, if you're the sensitive type and you get hurt by everything people do, you realize that, you know, sometimes people do things to you and it's nothing personal. That's just what they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you have to, and then you decide whether you want to hang out with them or not.
Yeah. Because I used to be, even recently, like, my biggest thing is I like to connect with people. Mm-hmm. Even if we're not going to be best friends, if I'm talking to somebody or if I'm doing business with someone or something, I have this desire to really connect. It's just, it's being genuine. It's being authentic. I'm not going to be invited to their wedding or anything like that. It's just, are we on the same page? Are we connecting? Are we seeing each other? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been times where I don't connect with somebody or they're not connecting with me or we're not, and they don't like me or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to connect.
Right.
And that stuff will drive me crazy because I don't do well with it. And I try to figure out, why are we not connecting? Why is this connection not happening?
Right.
Why are they not receptive? And then I try to adjust myself to try to connect more with them. And part of that's being an actor. And part of that's just, you know, my personality. But then part of it is a good learning lesson because I've learned how to just go, some people just don't want to go there. Some people aren't going to like you. And
right,
you're never
exactly.
gonna and you're never gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
You're not. There's gonna be times where it may be completely irrational that somebody doesn't like you. And they may have an insecurity or something, and you really aren't gonna figure it out.
Yeah. No, and you don't have to, you know, because
no.
I think from the outset you can assume that 50% of the people in the world are not gonna like you because it's a 1 in 2 chance. Either they like you or they don't like you. So half of them are not gonna like you, and then whatever happens from there is up to you, you know, but
mm-hmm.
and depends on who you meet and so
mm-hmm.
forth. But yeah, not everybody's going to like you, you know.
Yeah.
People have to understand that, you know. Don't take it personally. There's just no connection there. There's no whatever, you know. You're from different worlds, and it's just not happening, you know.
Yeah, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally okay. No, it's just, it kind of goes against my nature. And I think probably for a lot of people, especially if you're an entertainer, your job especially is to always get people to connect and always be on. And you're in the business of getting people to like you for whatever reason, for whatever you're selling or whatever. And so, you know, on an interpersonal level, you learn to kind of let go of some of that because it's just not going to happen. Or even as an artist, people aren't always going to like your work. Clearly. You know,
clearly
they're not. You have to, you know, have thick skin with that.
Yeah.
Let that go.
I know. Being an artist is not easy, man, because you got to do your stuff before you know anybody wants it. You know, so it's
yeah,
hard.
And it's something that, you know, you birth and it's vulnerable, and then everybody's gonna have an opinion on it, like it's not part of who you are.
Right.
And I mean, think about it. The way we talk about it, if we talk about a movie, we shred it to pieces, we dissect it, we say what we like, what we don't like. We talk about it very like an object and a thing, not the people connected and the lives connected, and we don't really look at it like that. Or we talk about a celebrity and we don't really humanize them at all. We kind of just think of them as these caricatures and these objects, you know?
Right.
So when you start actually
they deserve it, for crying out loud.
No. I mean, you know, but my point is when you start actually entering into that field and you're putting your work out there, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you start hearing people talk about your stuff in that light, you're like, oh, this is interesting. I feel very exposed, naked, vulnerable, and stomped on. For the most part, I get very good responses, but I've had, you know, people kind of, you know,
yeah.
dismiss or, you know.
Yeah, some people are haters, you know. I mean, they're just going to...
Or they're just going to have an opinion that, you know, they're not into it. And that's cool, too, but it's something you learn to kind of just go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's part of the game. You take the good with the bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but people get jealous, you know, and
there are some
and
haters
then
out there,
yeah, they're good at criticizing people, let me tell you.
My roommate and I, we're always like, we always say, we're so oddly fascinated when people are jealous of us. Mm. Like, I have this, if when someone's jealous of me, it's the weirdest odd form of flattery to me.
Mm.
Because I mean, I just don't
Do you see it as flattery?
Well, it always catches me off guard because I feel like, you know, I mean, yeah, I've got talents and there's some cool things going on with me. But for the most part, I feel like I'm pretty approachable. I'm pretty down to earth. And I don't think there's anything to be jealous of, really.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I just...
No, you're right. You're right.
But
you know,
it's funny. It's funny when people are jealous of me. I'm like, oh, really, me?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. you just work at it too, and you can be this fabulous.
Yeah,
like,
just
okay.
Yeah, I'll be
like, it's an odd. It's like I'd rather people not be jealous. I hate that emotion. It's a gross emotion. But I'm just saying it is a weird kind of thing because I'm like, oh, I've got them fooled.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh, the people that are jealous, they're just seeing one side of me, and I've got them fooled a bit, you
uh-huh,
know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll let them think I'm this great. And then I'll let them down easy later. And they'll be like, oh.
Let them figure out I'm a fraud, actually.
I'm not a fraud, but, you know, there's, you know,
yeah.
everybody's just human,
yeah.
you know? So it's, anyway.
Yeah.
So I wanted to thank everybody for I made my announcement that I was going on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, taking...
Did you get responses?
Not one! Not one! Not that it would work, but my point is I thought a
little... Give it some time.
Give it some time.
Yeah.
Listen, people.
What do you think? You make an announcement and overnight you're going to get married? It doesn't happen that way.
No. I was just thinking, you know, people be jumping on this. Apparently not.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you've got quite...
I know.
Quite a few requirements for a guy, you know, and maybe not everybody can fit those descriptions, you know, and those requirements.
I know.
Yeah, so
that's a good way.
You have to be patient with it.
Okay, that's a good way to soothe my ego.
Yeah, I'm going to enroll you in a fucking dating site, you know.
Which one should I do? I'll make this shit public.
I don't know. You tell me. Which one do you think is good?
I don't know. I mean, honestly.
Find the least expensive one.
The least expensive one. Do you guys love how Sam's funding this for me?
Hey, you should be grateful. What the hell, you know?
I know. I think it's funny. I'll make it public. I'll make it public. I think it's hysterical. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell the guys, because I've learned this from the past about being on the show, because that's backfired like a few times.
Really?
Yeah. It's
they
just...
don't want you to talk about them and things like that.
Well, I don't have the anonymity. Like, it's unnatural to go into a date and then they've heard you on the show a few times.
Right.
And they, you know, and I have a certain level of, I don't use a lot of discretion on the show because...
Right.
It's
but you
to
want
entertain
to stay mysterious
people.
In your personal life.
Well, when you're dating somebody, you let certain things slip out. You don't like go, hey, you know, like I do on the radio. Hi, follow me. You know, like you've got to be pretty and shit. You got to be like, oh, okay, you know, and I can't go back. Like once they hear this, I can't. But for entertainment purposes, because, you know, I think more like that. I'm kind of like an evil little producer.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm not mean. Like I don't, you know, I don't. Overexpose people that have told me, oh, don't say this. But I do look at things through the lens of comedy and through entertainment, and I look, oh, this is a great experience right now because blah, 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 and how I can use it. Anyway, so let's look. So Match.com, I've been looking at reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's eHarmony.
Right.
That one's expensive.
But that's expensive, right? They spend a lot of time with you, I think. You know, it's like
you guys hear that? Sam's eyebrows raised, and he's like, no. He wants to put me on the cheap ass. You know, he wants to put me on like
put you on Craigslist.
It's called HoesRUs.com.
How about SugarDaddy.com? You want that?
I would do that for fun, but yeah. I think you know, I even looked at it one time with a friend of mine got on it and we were laughing so hard. I just, how is that even serious? Like how is there any kind of serious exchange?
There isn't.
Yeah.
It's not about serious. Yeah. It's about an exchange, like you said, you know?
Yeah. Like how is there like, I'm really looking for love. Then, you know, cause the men are kind of hoeing themselves out too. They're like, hey, I got money.
Yeah. But you know? That's the thing. They're not looking for love. They're just looking for someone who is going to leave at the end of the evening, you know, that stay.
Well, what do you think?
They say that, you know, you pay a hooker to leave, not to stay, you know, because
that's funny.
You know, yeah.
That's funny.
I know.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
Men are
in that.
So crass.
Yeah,
know?
And I think that men by nature, I mean, generally, and this is a generalization, but men by nature are more delusional than women. Like. Men could be like not that attractive and just think they're freaking hot. And you're like, you know what I mean? Like guys look in the mirror and they like they say like a skinny girl or a beautiful girl. I saw this in like a comic book. It's like a really pretty girl looking in the mirror and she sees this ugly, gross, fat woman.
Uh-huh.
That's what she sees. And then he says he shows this overweight like pork chop of a man that's not good with three strands of hair. He looks in the mirror and he sees like a buff, like six-pack guy that's like hot. You know what I mean?
That's
men are so egotistical. So by nature, men already have that kind of built into their fabric. And then if they really actually have a lot of money, think about how
they become very attractive to a woman.
No, I think in a way it's just their entitled attitude is probably I just probably couldn't even tolerate it.
Probably because men, you know, they do measure themselves by how financially successful they are. You know, so that could be it, you know.
I would just think like, you know, no grace, no, you know, no.
Yeah. Mm. So Match.com, I mean, for me, it didn't work, but it could work for you. So, you know, we can try that.
It'd at least be fun.
What other ones are there? You know, eHarmony, I think they give you like a questionnaire with like 1,000 questions so they can match you with just the right person. I don't even know that you are the one that matches yourself. I think they do.
They do, yeah.
Right?
Here's my joke about eHarmony. Mm-hmm. Is all of their infomercials that they do mm-hmm. always have brunettes that end up with brunettes or, you know, are...
Really?
Yeah.
How did you notice that?
I noticed it. And they're always, it's very muted colors. Like right. the color schemes are beige, brown, like kind of cream colored walls. Everything looks so boring. Mm. They're like, yes, I, we met. I was so busy because I'm running an office. I'm running a boutique. I'm busy. And the guy's like, I wanted to really settle down. I'm in the office all the time. And eHarmony just took away all the fun, romance, and questions of life, and now we're together, and we eat dinner every night together, and it, you know, it works.
Yeah.
It just seems so.
Yeah. Well, it's aimed. I think they're aimed more at older people, you know. So maybe it's not the right place for you. I don't know, but also because it's expensive, I can't imagine many young people on there when it's expensive, you know, because many people are still starting out.
So I should go on eHarmony then, because it's more financial.
Yeah, do some research on that. I'll do some research on that, and we'll figure out which one we're going to put you on.
I want this to be like, we can like make this built into every show. What if every date had to come on the radio?
Okay.
They wouldn't do it.
No, they wouldn't do it.
They'd be like, this is ridiculous. Because I'm really doing it more for the entertainment value. Because clearly I'm not. He's like, I don't know. Something about you just doesn't seem like you really want a relationship. I'm like, no, I do. I just want a really entertaining relationship that I can exploit and have good material. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, I want to check you out in the studio first.
Yeah, I just want to see how we riff, you know? I just want to see, you know, your improv style. No. You're great. You're great.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. This just seems like unnecessary. No, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys stay tuned because we're going to, the next show, I'll have an answer of what side I'm going to be on and, you know.
Yeah.
We'll
figure it out. Yeah. This is interesting here. There's a billboard sign of that atheists have put up there in New Jersey. And it says, you know it's a myth. This is about Christmas. You know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. So, that's pretty interesting stuff, you know.
What? Atheist says, you know it's a myth.
Right. This season, celebrate reason.
What does that mean?
It means don't believe in ghosts and.
This is what I don't get about stuff like that. Even if you don't believe in it, mm-hmm. let's say you're like, I'm not buying it. It's like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus, right?
Right.
Why would you be adamant about trying to take that away from other people? Because for most people, it brings faith, it brings hope, it brings joy.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you don't subscribe.
But you also have to remember that maybe these are the extremes, and
yeah,
you know, and then you have you know, fanatics on the religious side.
Yeah.
That do try to impose it on other people. So, you know, it happens. Okay. At any rate, Kiara, we're done for today.
Okay.
And we'll see you all here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.